Well, there's one more thing that we need to do before we finish. But before we do that, that means there's two things, doesn't it? We're going to do something before the something. I want to show you a little video just to give you something to think about as to why Christmas matters. Thank you, Sharon.
The nation longed for deliverance. A leader.
So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to take a closer look at the Bible and look at some of the things that maybe we sometimes miss at Christmas. So I'm going to read from the Bible from Matthew chapter 2. It will come on the screen. Another very well-known part of the Bible. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will become a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you've found him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Well, we're so familiar with a Christmas story, aren't we? We hear it every year, and as we've just seen on the video, we get our Christmas cards, and we see the nativity, we have the shepherds and the wise men, and we have Mary and Joseph and the star, and the little baby Jesus. We see all this, but because we're so familiar with it, perhaps, we miss the magic, the real magic of Christmas. So to help us to think about that, I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer the question out loud, but I do want you to think about the question. This is for the children and for the adults. Have a think about the question. Here's the question. Has your life ever really changed? Has your life ever really changed? Many of you will know we're expecting our first child in January, and everyone's told me, your life's going to change. That's what everyone said. Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe you've had children, perhaps children, you've had a new baby brother or sister, and before you used to get all the attention, but now you've got to share the attention with somebody else. Or maybe adults, maybe you've had a new child in the family, or maybe you've met someone, a partner, a husband or a wife, and there's a new addition to the family, and your life has changed, hopefully for the better. Has your life ever changed radically? But here's perhaps another question that's maybe harder to answer, but I still want you to try and answer it in your mind. Here's the question. Would you like your life to change? Would you like your life to change? Would you like your life to be different? It's a really good question, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I feel a bit conflicted when I try and answer the question. Because on the one hand, I want to say, well, I'm okay, and life's all right, and I'm fairly happy. But on the other hand, I don't want to say, oh, it's never gonna get any better than this. So I'm a bit conflicted. But maybe you'd like your life to change. Perhaps you'd like more money. Maybe a better job. Maybe you'd like to have no job and be able to retire. Maybe you hope your life would change by your kids starting to listen to you for once. Maybe you'd like your life to change by having more help. Maybe you'd like to be healthier. Maybe you'd like to be happier. Probably most of us would like our life to change. Some people perhaps would like their life to change a little bit, and maybe some people would like their life to change a lot. Would you like your life to change? Well, in the two stories that we've read together, the story of the wise men and the shepherds, in each story, we see people, some whose lives didn't change really at all, and some people whose lives changed a huge amount. And what I want to do is just very quickly look at those two stories and see the people whose lives basically stayed the same, and other people whose lives changed for the better. So here's two people, or two groups of people, whose lives didn't really change in the story. The first one is Herod. His life didn't really change. He was the king before the first Christmas, and he carried on being the king afterwards. His life didn't really change very much. And the second person whose life really doesn't change, or group of people, were the religious leaders. They were the religious leaders beforehand, and they carried on being the religious leaders afterwards, and nothing really much changed for them. Just carried on as it was. But there were two more people, at least two more, whose lives really did change. The wise men, of course. They left their home in the east and trekked across the desert. And they were different people by the time they went back. Their lives really changed. And the shepherds, their lives changed completely. They could tell everyone what had happened. So some people's lives changed for the better. Some people just stayed the same. Let's look at why. Herod didn't change because he wanted to be in charge. That's why he didn't change. I can't remember who was acting Herod in the video, but remember, Herod was really angry. He was really angry because the wise men had said, "We've come to worship somebody who's been born the king of the Jews." And Herod was thinking, "I'm the king of the Jews? How dare anyone come and try and take my crown off me and be the king? I'm the king." And Herod wanted to be in charge. He didn't want anyone else telling him what to do. He didn't want anyone else being the king. He wants to be in charge of his life. And because of that, he didn't want to worship Jesus. He said that he wanted to go and see Jesus, but he wanted to go and see Jesus so he could kill him. And the wise men knew that, so they didn't tell him where Jesus was. So do you know what Herod ended up doing? Herod ended up killing all the babies because he didn't know which baby was Jesus. He killed a lot. He wanted to be in charge. I want to live my life my way. I don't want anyone else telling me what to do. And because of that, Herod didn't change. He just carried on just the same as he was before. And he wasn't a very happy person. He was the king and he was in charge. He ended up, this Herod, you know, killing half of his family because he thought that they were plotting to kill him. He wasn't a nice man at all. He wasn't a happy man. And he didn't change because he wanted to be in charge. The religious leaders, you know, they didn't change either. They didn't change because they thought they knew everything already. They were religious leaders. They knew what the Bible said. They knew all about the stories. They didn't really need to go and see this little baby born in a manger. They thought, well, if the Messiah's going to come, if the promised one's going to come, he's not going to be born in a manger. We're not going to bother to see him. We'll just carry on and everyone will pay us their money and they'll bring their little offerings to the temple every month and we can get rich and fat and we don't need to bother with this poor kid in the stable. They thought they knew everything. They were wrong, but that's what they thought. And because they thought they knew everything, they didn't change either. Life just carried on the same. And they were probably quite happy, they thought. But they were missing out on something really, really special. And you know what? Those two reasons, the reason of Herod and the reason of the religious leaders, the reason they didn't change, those are still today the two biggest reasons why people don't follow Jesus. People don't follow Jesus today, some of them, because they don't want to change. They're happy the way they are. "I don't want to become a Christian," people would say. "I've got a good life. I'm happy the way I am. I don't need religion. I don't need church. I don't need Jesus. I'm happy the way I am. I want to be in charge of my life. I don't want God telling me what to do. I don't want the Bible telling me what to do. I want to decide for myself what's right and wrong. I want to live my life my way." That's what Herod thought. That's what lots of people think today. And there are other people, often quite religious people actually, who think they know everything. "Oh, I know about heaven and I know about God. God loves everyone and God will welcome us all into heaven. And as long as I try my best and I'm reasonably good, then God'll let me into heaven. I know all that already. I don't really need any more than what I've got." just like the religious leaders. Two biggest reasons why people don't follow Jesus today. Well, not good examples to follow. But there are some good examples to follow. The wise men. The wise men's lives were changed completely by their encounter with Jesus and their seeing the star. So why were their lives changed for the better? Well, they were changed because they were humble. Do you know what that means, to be humble? It means you're not proud. You don't think much of yourself. You're willing to listen to what other people say. And that's exactly what the wise men did, because when they came to see Herod, they came to see Herod and said, "We've come to worship the king." Now these wise men usually in the Nativity, Elijah's a good example of a wise man, aren't you? What are you wearing on your head, Elijah? You're wearing a crown. Well done. Okay. So the wise men were rulers. They were like kings, really. Okay, wearing crowns, perhaps. But they come and say, "Well, we've come to worship a greater king, a better king than us." And they knelt down, didn't they? And they said, we're your servants to this little baby Jesus. Can you imagine that? Someone who's a king, who's really rich and got all this gold, and he kneels down, three of them, the wise men anyway, they kneel down, and there they are saying, "We're going to worship this little baby because he's much more important than we are. He's a much better person than we are. We're going to worship him." They were really humble people. The complete opposite of Herod. Herod was like, "I'm the king. No one tells me what to do." The wise men knelt before Jesus and offered him their gifts. And not only did the wise men kneel before Jesus, but the wise men also asked people. Did you notice that in the story? They weren't so proud saying, "I know where Jesus is. I know where the king's going to be born." They knew they didn't really know. They weren't really sure. So they went to ask the religious leaders and Herod. They weren't too proud to admit that they didn't know everything and perhaps they needed a bit of help. They were humble people. And as a consequence of that, they were overjoyed as they met with Jesus. What a great example they are for us to follow. And what about the shepherds? How were their lives changed? Well, if the wise men were changed because they were humble, the shepherds, well, to be honest, the shepherds were already humble. Because the shepherds in those days, nobody really ever said, "When I grow up, I want to be a shepherd." No one ever said that in those days. The shepherds, everyone kind of looked down on the shepherds. They were the ones who were working the night shift up on the mountain. Didn't get minimum wage in those days, below minimum wage, and nobody really wanted to be a shepherd. It wasn't a job that anybody really wanted. People looked down on them. They were already humble. So how were the shepherds changed? Well, the shepherds were changed because they listened to God, didn't they? The angels came to them and told them about this baby that had been born, and they knew that as the angels were speaking, that was God speaking through the angels. God had sent the angels to them. And they listened to what God said. Good news of great joy. A Saviour's been born. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. On earth, peace to those on whom His favour rests. And they thought, yeah, we're going to listen to that. We're going to do what God says. We're going to go down to see this baby in the manger who's wrapped in those cloths. You see, they listened to God, and as a result, their lives were completely changed. And as we saw from the video before, these two stories of the shepherd and the wise men tell us that Jesus is not just for well-off people. If only the three wise men had come to see Jesus, then maybe we could say, well, Jesus is for rich people who've got gold and that kind of thing. If it had been just the shepherds, we might have been able to say, well, Jesus is for poor people, because the shepherds would have been poor. But actually, it was wise men and shepherds. It was for the well-off people and for the poor people. And we can also see from the story, it's not just for religious people, is it? Because the religious people actually missed out. Sometimes people think, only religious people are interested in Jesus. But actually in the Bible, it's the very opposite. It's the people who aren't religious who are interested in Jesus. The religious people often miss out. So Jesus is not calling us simply to be religious. It's not what he wants. And these stories are telling us that actually Jesus is for everyone. But let me say this. If you're already happy with your life, and you don't want your life to change, then Jesus isn't for you. Because Jesus will change your life. And he'll change it for the better. If you want to be in charge of your life, and you don't want anyone telling you what to do, then Jesus is not for you. Because if we're to know Jesus and to come to Jesus, we need to recognize that he's the king. We're not the king. He's the king. He's the king. Some of you know that my wife and I do camps in the summer and with children's camps. And one year our theme was Jesus is the king. That was our theme on camp. And I was explaining this theme to some children on the camp. They were about 13 or 14 years old, something like this. And I just sitting down with them and just saying, this is the theme, that Jesus is the king. And this 13-year-old boy said to me, no, he's not. I'm the king. And he meant it. He meant it. And maybe that's how we feel. And if we feel like that, then Jesus is not for us. Jesus is not for us, because Jesus will change our life for the better. But we need to worship him. We need to listen to him. We need to meet with him. Herod missed out on that. The religious leaders missed out on that. But the shepherds and the wise men, they saw Jesus. How do you meet with Jesus today? Because that's what we all need. We need to meet with Jesus. This is the wonder of Christmas. We can meet with Jesus. How do you meet with Jesus today? Well, like the shepherds, we need to listen to God, because God will tell us, not with angels from heaven, but in the Bible. That's God's word. We need to listen to God, and also perhaps it's helpful sometimes if, like the wise men, we ask people who already know. Well, how is it that we can meet with Jesus? How is it that we can know Jesus? And if you do that, what difference would it make? What's the point of knowing and loving Jesus? How will it change your life? Well, the Bible gives dozens of answers to that question. I'm going to run through just a few very, very quickly. What difference would Jesus make in your life? Here's one thing. He would fill your life with joy. He really would. Here's a second thing. He would show you that you're more loved than you ever imagined. Number three. He would give you a greater sense of peace than you've ever known before. He will take your guilt and your shame away. He will be a friend who walks closer than a brother. He will give you a new family who will love you and accept you. And he will give you a secure future that will never be taken away. Those are just seven things. There are more, but those are just seven things that following the Lord Jesus brings. That's the difference that following the Lord Jesus makes in your life. So, can I ask you that question again? Do you want your life to change? Do you want your life to be filled with joy? Do you want to know that you're more loved than you ever imagined? Do you want a greater sense of peace than you've ever known before? Do you want your guilt and your shame taken away? Do you want a friend who walks closer than a brother? Do you want a new family who will love you and accept you? Do you want a secure future that will never be taken away? Because if the answer is yes to any of those questions, then you may not know it, but actually what you really want is the Lord Jesus. You want to know him. You want to worship him. You want to follow him. Because the Lord Jesus brings all of that. And you might think, well, how can this little baby in a manger give all that? Well, if the baby in a manger was just a baby in a manger, then of course he couldn't. But the baby in a manger is actually the God who came down from heaven. The baby in the manger actually is the man who died on the cross for sinners. That's why Jesus can make such a difference. He's not just any old baby, but he's God from heaven, who died on the cross for sinners. And we want to invite you and encourage you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him, to know all of these joys as the shepherds did, as the wise men did. And if you're not sure how to do that, then do as they did. Do as the shepherds did. Listen to God's word. Come back on Christmas Eve. Come back this evening at 6 o'clock if you want. Come back and listen to God's word, because the Bible's got so many helpful things that we don't have time to talk about this morning that would really help you to know that joy. And the second thing you can do is ask people who know. Perhaps you know somebody who's already a Christian, someone who comes to the church regularly. And just like the wise men did, you could say to that person, do you know, I want to worship Jesus. How can I find him? How can I meet with him? And you could ask that person. I'm sure that person would be very happy to help you in any way they could.